So, without further ado, let's get into Hebrews chapter 12. If anyone needs a Bible in English or Spanish, you could raise your hand and somebody will get you one. And also, before we get started, if there's any kids, you are welcome now to leave to Children's Church. All right. So a quick review. The book of Hebrews. Hebrews is written to the Jewish church. So a lot of the early believers, the early church, were Jewish. They were Jewish people who were waiting for the Messiah to come, the Savior of the world. And a lot of the early church was Jewish. So they started walking with Jesus. They were facing persecution from their Jewish brethren who were like, you guys aren't Jewish anymore. That happened to me. I grew up Jewish, and one time I was working at a synagogue at an after school teaching basketball, and there was a kid who was a member of the Lubavitch, Hasidic Jewish sect. He was a little different, and he was telling me all about how this guy, Menachem Schneerson, was the Messiah. And I was like, that's not true. He's not the Messiah. And then he's like, yes, he is. And then I said, you know, was he wounded for our transgressions? Was he bruised for our iniquities? I'm like, show me with my Bible that he is the Messiah. So I took out my Bible that I had in my book bag, and he saw it, that it had New Testament in it, and he threw it on the ground, and he's like, I should punch you in the face. And I was like, oh, I've never experienced this before. And that was really scary. And it felt very demonic. It was like very intense. And this is the type, and way worse, the persecution that was going on in the early church. Like, there was serious persecution going on. So people were leaving. They were getting shunned from their society. If they had a business, they probably lost their business. And they were, you know, they were in it for real. However, that persecution helped the church to grow. But then some of them wanted to go back, right? And they wanted to go back to some of their traditions. And we could be like that too. At first, we get saved and we get excited. We start walking with Jesus. Things are going good. And then over time, maybe that struggle that we went through is now taken care of. That thing that we thought that was gonna, you know, that was gonna kill us is now gone, and things start going well. And then we start to creep back to some of our old ways, right? And that's what, you know, the author's trying to guard against, right? Just keep pushing forward with Jesus. Keep pushing forward with Jesus, because it's a race. It's a long race as Christians. It's not just like, it's not a feeling that you just have for a little bit, or, you know, you don't just pray and have a relationship with God when things are going bad, right? It's in the good and the bad. Some of the biggest temptations to walk away from God is when things are going well. Because when you're in chaos and you're drowning, you're screaming out to God. But what happens when all the bills are paid? And what happens when, you know, people aren't dying next, left and right to you, and, you know, things are going to do well? Are you going to then, you know, turn away from God and say, I'll see you later? You know, so God wants us to keep pushing forward with him. As we grow, we're going to start to see life differently. We start to see life in a spiritual sense. We start to see life about souls and making disciples in that sense. Not just, is my life good? Like, you know, am I good? And that's where God's trying to get us, to this maturity of that. It's not just, you know, this flesh and blood stuff, but there's a battle for souls. Like, there's people dying every day going to hell, right? And who else is going to share the gospel but with, you know, than us? Who else is going to try to make disciples but with us? We have this knowledge. We know the truth. We don't want to conform to the world. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We got to help the world too, right? That we're the hands and feet of the church. So we can't just get comfortable, right? And just be like, well, my life's good now. We got to keep moving forward, keep pressing forward towards our upward calling. So this is an encouragement to keep moving forward in their faith, trusting in the new covenant found through the blood of Jesus. Old covenant, remember, what do you do with your sins? You put the animal, you put the sins on the animal, kill the animal. Now your sins are covered. They're not eradicated. But new covenant, we put our sins on Jesus. Now they're 100% wiped out. Our slate is totally clean. If we had, you know, credit card debt with Jesus, wipe clean, right? No matter what, we are 100% clean because of Jesus, right? So when God looks at us, we're totally justified, totally. So only Christ's death was able to do that, and that was the new covenant, right? That's the new promise. Last time we looked at some of God's children who lived in faith. This is a few weeks back. We went through Hebrews 11, which is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith, where we see all these people that lived by faith. And there were some common factors, right? They looked at life in a spiritual sense. They didn't look at life as just like here and now and whatever, YOLO. The YOLO mentality of YOLO standard, you only live once. Like, that's demonic because that will make you do dumb stuff because you're like, who cares? I only live once. Like, let's just have fun, right? That mentality is from hell, right? Or the opposite. Well, yesterday AJ was asking me about what's karma, right? Karma, you could do it over and over again. You mess up this time, you'll get it right in the next life. That's also from hell, right? You only have one chance to choose Jesus. You only have one chance to live for him. And you only have a little bit of time. And when your time is up, that's it, right? So we want to make use of the time. We want to redeem the time, as the Bible says. So the people that were living by faith, they weren't perfect people. They weren't people that never messed up. They were people that looked to God and focused on him and lived in a way that was for him, right? And we could do that once we put our faith in Jesus. We could put that sin, all that stuff that used to hold us down, we just put it aside and we keep walking forward because Jesus took care of it, right? So we don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't have to try to do more good than bad, right? That's a mentality that a lot of people grew up with. And even as Christians, right, we could try to, like, sometimes go back to that. I need to do more good than bad, right? As we continue to get closer to Jesus, we're going to start to sin less, but we're not going to do it in our best efforts, and we're not going to be made righteous by being a good person. It doesn't exist, all right? We have to just understand we're forgiven in Jesus. Jesus is the only one who's perfect. And we're going to start to do good because of God working in and through us. But it's not, we're not made righteous through our acts. So the main takeaway from these scriptures, from Hebrews 11 is that God will use flawed people when they truly trust him and allow him to work through them. We become like, you know, in plumbing, just like a pipe, right? God works in and then just works out. Like, so the pipe, we're not getting the glory. We're just being, you know, God's filling us and working in and through us. But we don't touch the glory, right? We got to be careful of that. We don't touch the glory like, look, I'm a great person. No, God's just working in me. Now he's working through me. And now what you're experiencing is God. It's not me. So don't look to me, right, when you were like, wow, I've never felt this way before. Well, yeah, okay, cool. That's not me. So don't try to take God's glory. Right? And that could be manipulated, and it is in churches all around, I'm sure, the city today. There's a lot of people who are trying to take credit for what God's doing and God's word. Like, it's God. Don't take any of the credit for that. So we see God's delight in those who have faith in him. So I gave the example last time. You know, if I went to my kids and I said, hey, after church today, we're going to go to the park, right? They could have two answers, right? One is, yay, we're going to the park. The other is, I don't believe you. And why would they say that? Why would they say they wouldn't believe me if I, you know, maybe if I would have let them down time after time again, right? If every time I said we were going to the park, we ended up, you know, going to the dentist, or we ended up, you know, that's my son's biggest fear. I could talk about him now. He's not here. So his biggest, well, he played baseball. He played baseball with a kid on the team whose mom was a dentist. So every time my wife is talking to the mom, he thinks that she's setting up an appointment for him. And he, in the car ride home, he's always asking, like, so there's no appointments, right? And we're like, no. But That's a true story. Don't bring it up, Tim. Don't bring it. But so if I every time said we're going to the park and we end up going to the dentist, right, I would probably he'd probably start losing trust, and they would start losing trust in the things I said to him. The same thing with God, right? God says stuff in his word, promises of a life for us. Yet we'll do that sometimes and we won't believe him. But why? Like, why don't we believe God? Right? Has he proved us wrong? Has he not done what he said? He's been more perfect of a God than us. Maybe it's not always the way we thought it would be, but God's never let us down. God was always there. And even when we were hurting and in pain, you know, he was there to help us to get through it, right? Now, God might allow certain things to happen, and there's also evil people that have free will that do things, because this is a fallen world. But God wants to heal those things, right? And God is someone we could trust, someone we could have faith in. So we don't want to be like the kid who's like, yeah, right, I don't believe you. We want to have the faith that whatever God says, we believe, right? And he'll do those things. So today, we're going to look at a lot of, there's like really great nuggets. Like when you teach, you're trying to, it's almost like you're mining for gold, and you go through it and you're praying. And then as you like mine for gold, you find these rocks of like gold and you just want to like present them. There's in Hebrews 12, there's a lot of gold in it. So that's why I don't know if we're going to be able to get through them all today, because there's just so many good ones. So we're going to look at sin that causes us to fall into a trap, why God disciplines us, and encouragement to keep moving forward in our walks with Jesus. So if you're dealing with any of those things, of maybe wondering why God's disciplining us, maybe you're struggling with sin, or if you need encouragement, you're in the right place today. All right. So let's get into it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, looking back in Hebrews 11, since we have all those examples of people who live by faith, we should follow their example and put the things away in our walks to the side, and the sin which so easily traps us into a cycle. Okay? I can't be the only Christian who lives like this. This was my existence. I've been a Christian for 20 years. I would walk strong with God. I would want to share. I'd want to be a light. And then I would sin. And then I'd feel guilty. And then I would feel like I was unworthy to do anything for God. And then I had a time of nothingness. Then eventually I would just keep going to church, and maybe I would hear a good message. And then eventually God would bring me back to the point where now I feel like I could serve again because I've been doing good with God. I would say like that was the terms. I'm doing good with God now. So now I could be a light. Now I could walk again with him. And then I would sin again. And then it would just happen over. And then I was guilty, and it would happen over and over and over for 15 years straight. It was just like, take a step, fall, take a step, fall. And I'm looking at my own righteousness and not at Jesus. God is perfect. We are not. Did God love me any more at one point as he did in another point? No, he loved me the same throughout. Did God know I was going to sin over and over and over and over and over? Yes, he knew. Did he choose me anyway? Yes, he did. Did he see that he was going to do something different in my life eventually? Yes, he did. So we got to stop looking at ourselves, because what happens is we start condemning ourselves. We start kind of measuring our walks with him by our own works. And once we do that, it's over. He's got us. The devil's got us. Right? Because we can't look at our walks and measure if we're doing good with God by whether we sin or not, because we're done. We need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? Jesus knows we were going to sin, and he chose you anyway. God chose you anyway. Okay? You're already forgiven. Confess to him. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But just like Adam and Eve, after they sinned in the garden, they hid, right? Because they were ashamed. Did God know where they were? Yes. Did he still ask, where are you? Yes. To test their hearts, to get them in conversation with him again, right? God wants us to get in conversation with him. When we mess up, and you are, so we could put on our nice clothes and we could come to church and act like we don't struggle with sin. We do struggle with sin. Everybody struggles with sin. If you have a heartbeat, you struggle with sin, okay? But there's going to be areas of victory, and we're going to have victory in certain areas. But there's still going to be those some that are so easy to fall to, okay? But even if we do fall, don't stay there in a fallen state. Confess. Bring it to God, because he knew you were going to fall already. He knew you were going to fall. So don't stay there and start moving. Keep moving forward, okay? Because we only have a little bit of time, all right? And as you keep moving forward, this was my walk as well. Don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, right? It wasn't like, all right, what did God call me to do and like what to do with my time? All my focus was on just not sinning. And if you don't sin at, you know, you try not to focus on something enough, and all your focus is on not focusing on it, you end up going to focus on it more. I remember one time I was driving on the highway in the left lane, and I was just a new driver. And I just started staring at the divider in the middle of the highway. And before I knew it, I started drifting into it. And I'm like, what am I doing? Stop. And that's how I felt like what my life was with sin. I was focusing on so much of just not sinning that I would just sin more. And then I let myself down. Meanwhile, God called me to be busy with the things of him. So now what am I doing in my free time, right? I'm going to be putting together a Bible study. You know how strong and how, you know, how just much joy and peace I have when I spend my free time in a Bible study, like putting together a Bible study, going through different scriptures, spending time with him, as opposed to just trying not to sin, right? Christian walk is not just trying not to sin. That's impossible, okay? Don't just try not to sin, right? Get busy with the things of God, all right? And that's by finding out, why did God create you? What are your gifts? What are some things he's calling you to do? Little decisions, right? God will give you his peace. Are you supposed to be alone in the house right now? Right? Maybe not. Maybe God's calling you to go do something else. Are we supposed to be wherever, like, God is having us, where maybe there's sin all around? I had to cut out a lot of friends who were going out to bars, right? I was trying to stop drinking. Well, going to a bar is not a great place to stop drinking. All right. All right. If you're trying to stop smoking weed, going to the Syfe. Sorry, some of my students are here, so they'll understand these words. I'll explain it. So a group of friends will smoke marijuana, and they call it a cipher, which is a group where they get together and smoke one blunt together and pass it around left to right. And then it's their way of worldly fellowship, which is not good, right? Because what are they looking for? They're looking for fellowship with God, and they're trying to find it. They're finding it in the world, and it's not going to meet them. And they're going to, as soon as the high goes away, guess what? You have to smoke again. And that's why, you know, people who, you know, smoke will just smoke morning, afternoon, night, during school, all day, right? And when's it stop? It doesn't, because you're always going to feel that emptiness that only God could fill, right? And it's not an emotional thing, right? But if you feed the spirit will be strong. If you feed the flesh will be strong. And the flesh is never satisfied, ever. It's not like, let me just give into it just so I could calm my flesh. You know, the flesh never gets satisfied. It wants more and wants more and wants more. And, you know, there's that song, Slow Fade, right? And it's like the little steps that you do that get you like, you know, oh, that's not a big deal. Oh, that's not a big deal. You know what? This isn't hurting anybody. Oh, this one no one sees. And then before you know it, your life is way off track and you're like, how'd I get there? And it's a slow fade. It's small decisions, right? So get right with God, repent, talk to him, and get back into his path, because he wants you to and he loves you. And we'll talk a little bit also how to do it, right? So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All right. You may be looking to each other and you may be thinking, I'm way better than this guy. I'm way better than my friends at home. My brother, I'm way better than them. However, are you way better than Jesus? No, he's perfect. Okay? So don't compare yourselves to each other. Compare yourself to Jesus, which is perfection, which is a fail every time. So that's going to keep you, like, you know, close to him. Right? In horse racing, I unfortunately know way too much about horse racing. My dad had, he's a big horse gambler and quit his job and raised us on horse gambling. And he used to bring us to the track all the time. And yeah, so that was one of my other things, is gambling was like a big thing. So I had to give that stuff up. But in horse racing, they add weight to make the races even for horses, that are too fast for the others. Okay. Now God wants you to live a race that to be in the race where you are like super cheat code. Okay. However, we put all this weight on ourselves, right? It talks about here, let us lay aside every weight in verse 1. We put the weight on ourselves in our walks with Jesus, which is slowing us down, right? So God already died for those. Jesus died for those sins. So just give them to him, confess, and keep moving forward, because or else we're trying to live this life with this weight on us. And it's so much harder. Like, don't live, life is hard enough. Don't add to it by putting this extra weight on, right? Don't make it so that we have to live this life with a weight, because Jesus already died for that. Jesus saw the joy of setting the captives free. There was shame on the cross, right? You're up there. You're high up there. We see a cross here is built, right? Imagine then, you know, back then there wasn't TV. This was part of the town's, you know, the village's entertainment of maybe some people watching who's going to get crucified, people screaming at them, shouting at them, spitting at them, maybe throwing things at them. And he took the shame, right? Because I'm sure some people are like, wow, look at him. He's up there. He probably did all these crimes that nobody knows about. He took that all for us, right? He said, despising the shame. But his mission was finished of saving mankind from our sins. For anyone who believes that he died for our sins. Anyone who believes. God does not see our sins. He sees his son's perfection covering us. All right? So just know, walk in freedom. Walk with this newness of life. Because he doesn't see your sins. The ones that you see, that you're always telling yourself, well, I'm not worthy of God. God loves you anyway, right? We're not worthy. God loves you anyway. And we could avoid these traps by focusing on Jesus. So our walk started with Jesus, and he's going to finish it. It's not we start with Jesus, and then we try our best. It's he starts it, and he's going to also finish it. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So maybe you haven't been walking in this walk, right? Maybe you're kind of stepped aside. All right. So the encouragement for today is get back in it, right? If you have been in it and you know, it's a lot, right? Just keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. All right. God knows. God sees, and he has a plan for it. Okay. And he's going to produce fruit. In verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. This is talking about Jesus. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Right? Speaking of Jesus endured so much hostility from unbelievers, unrepentant sinners. Even one of the guys on the cross was like mocking him. And Jesus endured it all for us to complete his mission to the end. So we should use him as an example to endure, right? It's going to be hard. Your parents might say, you know, things about you. Your friends might say things about you. And you're going to face trials, right? But what he did is allow us to help us throughout it all. And he's going to do that. And John 15, this was something that really spoke to me. Once I got saved, all my friends were Jewish, pretty much. We had like a Jew crew in high school. We're all like fake Jewish, but like not hardcore religious Jewish. But they started saying, you know, things about me, like, what, you know, what's your deal now? Like, you know, I don't want to go to the parties that I used to go to. I don't want to do all these things. And this spoke to me because it was just something I was dealing with at the time. You know, cause for me, I thought it was a big deal that people said something bad about me. And I'm like a people pleaser. I'm getting over that slowly but surely. But I always wanted to be liked by people of all, you know, I wanted everybody to like me. And when somebody didn't like me, that really hurt me. But this was encouraging. In John 15, 18, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world loves its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So know that when we preach Jesus, when we share Jesus, right, and it's like, you know, we might face rejection. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. When you have a parent or a loved one you're trying to share Jesus with, and you just want to, like, just shake them and say, don't you see, like, you're dealing with all these things, and, like, Jesus wants to take it from you, and, you know, when you die, you're going to go to hell, and, like, they're not rejecting you when they say no. They're rejecting Jesus. But your life and living by, you know, living a godly life filled with the Holy Spirit, it's going to speak to them, right? And over time, those little seeds that you plant, God will bring increase to, right? And if they keep hardening their hearts, then that's their own personal problem with God, okay? But don't let that discourage you. All right. If they hate you, they reject you, just know that they are rejecting Jesus. They're not rejecting you. So don't take it personal. And that's what helped me through that time, because I took it personal. You know, when people would say stuff, but they're rejecting Jesus. So every time that they say something, maybe it's because something's hitting their heart and they don't know how to deal with it. So just be patient, pray for them, because you never know. That person could be a future, you know, on fire, weirdo Christian, right, that God wants to use. Moving on to verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to the sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Okay, now, have you forgotten the exhortation? Exhortation is encouragement. My son, do not despise. Like, don't get angry when God, chastening is disciplining. Don't be angry by when God disciplines you. Okay? Actually, use it as encouragement. Because when you're disciplined by God, that's proof that you're God's child. Okay? That's proof that you're God's child. If you're not getting disciplined by God, then be scared, okay? Then be, you know, then watch out, okay? Do not hate to get disciplined by God, because it's proof that we're his children, or that he's trying to get our attention to become his child, all right? It's a godly thing when things start falling around because of, start falling down because of sin, or things just start, you know, not going the way we thought, right? Chaos is whatever. Or we're getting rebuked by him. It means that he's trying to help us to grow, or he's trying to draw us closer. So it's a good thing. But he's saying, be careful. Don't get discouraged by that. Okay. Maybe you're going through a season where it just seems like everything is just going bad. It's just like thing after thing after thing. And it's just like, you're just done. Okay. It could be that God's just trying to get your attention. He's trying to take out everything else so that you could just go to him, because those other things, maybe they were getting in the way. I remember a time when my wife and I, we were, I grew up with a lot of chaos in the house, drug addicts and stuff like that. And with those choices comes chaos, right? So, you know, fights and random jail times and rehabs and, you know, people coming to the house trying to break in, like just random craziness, right? But then my parents started to chill out, and then those times kind of ceased. But then things were going pretty wild in my wife's life. And it just seemed like it was time after time. It was one thing after another, after another, after another. And it was a time where I think God was really trying to get her attention, right? It seemed she was in a place in her life where everybody looked to her to solve the problems. Like, you know, we need money. You know, you have a good job, help us. You know, somebody's going through some problems. I need you, you know, to help them. What are you going to, and she was getting pressure from all sides, right? And God was trying to get her and the family to a point where God wanted to be God, right? And that's a scary thing where you stop relying on people and you rely on God. Because you want to fix, you want to help, and you see people you love hurting, and you want to do something to help them. But is it possible that we could be getting in the way of God maybe trying to do something in their life, right? And I was a small lowercase g for her because she was overwhelmed. So I let, this is before we were married, I let her just hide at my house, right? And you could just hide here. Right? And you could be, and now you're going to live here. Life is overwhelming you, and you're going to stay here for months in a depressed state in the dark. Right? So now we're living in sin. Right? Chaos is going on all around her. I'm trying to walk with God. I can't. Right? Because of the choices I'm making. Right? And this is where we lived for years, like in this state. Right? So we were still saved. Right? I think. Right? We were getting convicted of our sins, but there was no fruit really coming out of it, right? And it wasn't good. It was just this middle half state where you're kind of walking with God, but you're also not, and you're trying to act a certain way, but you know it's not true at home, and like, I knew the right thing to do, but I couldn't, and my home life didn't match with my public life. Like, it was bad, right? If you're in a place like that, right? Let God do the healing. It may hurt for the time, right? It may hurt, but God doesn't want us to do shady things. God doesn't need us to hustle and do all this stuff, all right? Trust him. That's part of faith, right? And us growing in faith, right? When we have no other choice and we're going to say, I trust you anyway, and then God shows up. Those are the things that you're going to remember down the road when you're struggling with faith again. Like, no, God showed up, but you have to let him. If you're always thinking about some hustle and way that you're going to do it in your best effort, then you're never going to grow with him, right? But that's especially, right? Think about the Jews when they came to the water and the Egyptians were chasing them, right? What if they were like, we need to build boats right away? Right? They would have missed out on the blessing of God opening the water for them and them just walking through. Right? Or the time of when they were going around the walls of Jericho. Right? And God was able to break down the walls. What if they were just thinking like, you know, let's just try some hustle of getting in. Right? All these time after time, God wants us to work miracles, but we don't let them because we're like, no, I'm going to get this one. This is too much for you, God. But that's how we're going to grow. Right? That's how we're going to grow. So trust God, right? And don't get discouraged by the discipline. I would only, if my son got into a trouble with friends, my daughter got into a trouble with friends, I'm not going to discipline that whole crew. All right. I'm going to discipline my son. All right. I mean, I'll give the other kids a look like, stop hanging around my son. Stop hanging around my daughter, bad kids. But I would only discipline my son, right? Wait till you get home. Or maybe I'll give him an aggressive handshake, you know, hold his hand. Let's go, right? That's how we know, though, that because we could be around other people and they don't feel the conviction, right? They do whatever and they don't feel the conviction. They might get away with it and then they even get a bigger hustle going on. What's up with that? They're not God's child. You are God's child, So you feel the conviction. You feel that. And then now all of a sudden you got caught maybe. And now you're dealing with the consequences. Well, guess what? That was God disciplining you because you're his child. So be encouraged by that. Be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Like, oh, my dad's the worst. No, because he sees that that's going to lead to destruction. And he loves you, right? If my son got into trouble for doing something, I would say, I would discipline him because I see where it could lead to worse things down the road. Is God disciplining you right now because maybe there's something right now that you're doing that maybe could lead to bigger destruction or maybe just wasted time and things he didn't create you for down the road? So those are things he's trying to get to you now before they become bigger things, because those things could take root, those things have consequences, and it's way easier to get it early than before things really start to get deeper, and now you got to deal with a whole mess. Because think about a baby weed. You bring out the baby weed, no problem. But what about that weed that was there for years? You gotta really dig deep. You pull it up, it creates a whole mess. There's a big hole. You're picking up other stuff out of it too. Maybe good flowers might come out of it, right? So you want to get stuff early, right? And we don't want to let that grow. In Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. His discipline is not condemnation. It's out of love to protect us, right? If I saw a little kid and and I love them and they want to see if their knife can fit into a socket, right? Am I just going to let them do it because they're just expressing themselves, right? Like, well, you don't let me have any fun, right? Because as an adult, I have more knowledge and understanding that a knife into an electrical socket is not good, okay? It could be in a zap. But we could complain to God, God, you don't understand. He has more knowledge than us. So he knows that when we do the proverbial knife into a socket in our lives, that we're going to hurt ourselves. So he's just trying to protect us from that. That's all out of love, right? God's discipline is preventative and it's corrective. Preventative and corrective. He'll prevent us from maybe getting into real problems, right? I know when he took drinking out of my life, I already had a fatty liver. I was already on my way to cirrhosis, right? And he's maybe trying to prevent me from having cancer down the road or some type of serious issue, right? It wasn't that he didn't want me to have fun anymore. It was that I was using that as an idol. It was getting way too big in my life and it was causing problems. He was preventing me from going down that road and corrective. So how should we react when we're corrected by God? Are we going to be like a bratty kid and just be like, no, I don't care. I don't care. You don't know anything. Leave me alone. Are you done? Right? See, like, or are we going to be like, humbly accept it and say, I'm sorry. You're right. You know, and it's funny because, it's cool the way the Spirit works, right? God has been convicting you of sin, a specific sin or sins, for a long time. And sometimes it just takes somebody in a human form to just bring it up to just kind of finish the act. And God will work that way sometimes, where he's been convicting you, right? Because that's what he does with his children. He'll convict us. He'll bring it up, right? And then it just sometimes it seems like it's all around. And then you're just tired of running and you just confess. But it's for your blessing. It's a good thing. So in verse 7, if you endure that discipline, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I have one of my softball players here today, Big Vic Rivera, everybody. Hi, Vic. Right? And I would say to them, worry about it when I don't give you feedback. Because if I'm not giving you feedback, that probably means I think you suck. And I'm not going to waste my time. I'm just happy you have a glove on. I'm happy you're standing. Hey, you didn't trip. Like, hey, all right. Way to be breathing. Okay? But if there's a player that has real potential, I'm going to try to really help them and help them to grow. Like, I'm not going to be happy if they just made contact with the ball. I want them to crush a ball, right? So the same thing with, you know, getting chastening from God. If we're his child, he's going to see us in an empowered state, and he knows what he could do through us. So he's going to keep giving us feedback, right? The people that aren't his sons and not his daughters, he's not going to give them the same feedback. All right. So don't lose heart if you're in a season of correction, because out of it's going to come beauty, and it will. It really, really will. If I know some of you have experienced a time where things seem like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through it. Maybe even thoughts of suicide. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to get through this life. Right. But when you endure and you give it to God, over time, you're going to look back and be like, wow, I can't believe I had those thoughts, because I see what he wants to do in my life. In Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach." This is speaking of Jesus. Okay. This is speaking hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth. This is speaking about what Jesus is going to be like. So this is what he wants to do for us: to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Are you bound today by a sin? Are you brokenhearted? Come to Jesus. Bring it all to him. Even if you're already saved, maybe, you know, you kind of walked away, right? But don't wait. Don't wait. Come to Jesus. That's what he's here for. He knows your pains. He knows your struggles. He knows what you're bound by. So come to him, right? Come to him. He loves you. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." So God can see us in a way that only he can. We don't see it, right? But God sees us in a way that only he can. I see it, you know, as a parent, right? I see my kids only a way that I could see them. So that's why when they do stuff that I'm like, what are you doing? That's not you. You know what I'm saying? Only a parent could see that, right? So when our kids act out of character, we're like, what's that? No, that's not the way I see you, right? And imagine the way God sees us. And when we get out of character, he's just trying to discipline us, because he knows that's not us. He can see us in heaven already. He could see us in a completed, perfected state. He can see the victories that we already had through him that have not happened in our lives yet. Do you know that you have a victory coming up in the future? Some victory coming up in the future that God's going to do in and through your life? And God's already seen it, because he's outside of time, right? And he wants to do that, but you have to let him, because we have free will, right? So he can't force to be in our lives and force our choices. But God wants to bring, he has victories already done in our lives that we're gonna be like, wow, like, you know, that's unbelievable. He's trying to help us get there and be freed from the sin's chains, right? We think that we're in control when we do those sins, but in fact, those sins are controlling us. We're in chains to those things. We think that we're the ones in control. In Romans 6:15, it says, "Shall we sin? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." So now we're called to be slaves of righteousness. Slaves of righteousness, not slaves of sin. That's the old self, right? But we lived in that for so long that sometimes we'll go back to that because it's comfortable, right? Like when we get maybe, you know, something that's old and just needs to get thrown out, sometimes we keep those things for too long just because they're too comfortable, right? I could give examples, but they're kind of gross. So let's go with just like an old chair, okay? An old chair, right? It has holes in it. It's worn down. Maybe the springs come up and cut you. And you're just like, oh, but I love this chair. But God wants, you know, this new, nice, perfect recliner with automatic, you know, everything. And it's just perfect. Don't go back to the old thing. He wants to give us something new. And that's the thing about those sins. Those sins for me were comfortable. Right? Those sins for me felt normal. Right? And God's trying to give me a new life. Like, even for some of us, we like worrying about stuff. We like being anxious for things. It means like we feel alive. Like, you know, there's nothing happening, but there's always something happening. But then when actually something happens, it's like, oh, I've been in this state for so long. I've been in this heightened state. Like, not every sneeze is coronavirus. All right. Not every mosquito bite is, you know, the me's. I don't know. Right. But we could live in that state where everything is just so high up. But when we live in those heightened states, we have to check our hearts and be like, where's my faith? Because if we have a strong faith, then anxieties, they have a tough time living, coexisting. It's usually one has it and one doesn't. Right. Maybe you see people doing evil and they're not getting disciplined by God, but maybe that's because they're not a child of God. In verse 9, furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us, seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So, I know for myself, I always wanted to make my dad proud. That was a big thing for me. I was so scared as a young father that I was going to let my kids down. So, I had this mindset of perfection. But as I started to live with them for a while, these strangers that just moved into my house, I started to see that they loved me so much, and it was really hard to let them down, right? They always looked to the positive, and I didn't realize how much they wanted to make me proud. I still don't fully understand it, right? And I think it's important to know that, like, you know, we want to make God proud, right? And he loves us and he sees our faults. He sees, like, where we struggle. He sees that we're, you know, we're trying, right? I mean, you know, we fall, but he wants to stay close with us, right? So, like, if my kids, they let me down in some way, like, they didn't do something, it's not that they're not my kids anymore. I still want to have a relationship with them. Growing up, I would say I didn't get that much correction and advice from my father or mother. They were just kind of, I was only child, so I was like ghetto spoiled. Like, you know, if I wanted something to drink, I'd just scream at my mom. Just say, Mom, give me your chocolate milk. But I knew we didn't have a lot of money, so I didn't really ask for that much. But I guess when you're only child, you could do like no wrong in the eyes of your parents. So they thought everything I did was like so perfect. I remember one time my mom made me stay in during the afternoon instead of go out to play. And then she apologized for like a month because I really made her feel guilty about it. And then I think she grabbed my arm once. And then I think I threatened to call CPS. You know, regular white people stuff. But the point is, I didn't really get that much discipline, all right? And later in life, I kind of wanted it. I wouldn't say that out loud, but it's like when we know we're in sin, it's sometimes it's a weird thing. It's like we're waiting for something to fall apart because we need help to do it. All right. And we're just like, please, God, just can you just take care of me already? Like, I need, right? And when, you know, we have to seek him. If we seek him, right, he's very loving, he's very patient. So he may be just waiting for us to come to him. And we might need some help, right? So we're going to wind down here. And if you wanted help in just praying, right, I'm not a priest. You don't have to confess your sins to me, all right? But you may need help in just praying together, right? We could pray together after service that maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe there's something that's kind of holding back, like those, you know, that what you feel should be like just rivers of water. You know, if you've seen like one of those dams that are just kind of covered and then something gets let loose and the water just flows through. Right? There could be something, right? That sin that easily ensnares you. So if you need some prayer for that, please come stay after. We could talk about that. But we should listen to what God says, right? Just like we would listen to our parents, all right? We don't want to get mad at God when he corrects us, right? Which is something we could do. Like, you know, we might say, like, how come you don't want us in, like, I, you know, this was, like, me, my wife and I, we were together for a long time since high school, and we lived in sin for a long time, and it messed up our walks with Jesus for a long time. And I would get mad of, like, you know, like, why? But she's my best friend, and how come not now? And I remember God telling me she's the one, just not now, right? And I was getting in her way of growing. She was getting in my way of growing, right? And it's, and I would get mad at God, right? But he knew better, right? But that's part of faith, like, in trusting him. And he's outside of time, so he knows it all, okay? And we just need to trust him and live in faith. So I'm going to close this here. And if, first off, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, okay, it simply starts with just admitting that you're a sinner, right? That we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Secondly, that Jesus is our Savior, that he died on the cross for those sins, right? That we're to repent. That word repent means to turn away from those sins and to follow him, right? So it's SSRF, sinner, Savior, repent, and follow. The Bible says if you say you've never sinned, then you're lying, because we've all sinned, right? A sin is simply, have you ever lied before, right? Simple stuff, like, have you ever stolen something, right? And then there's a lot more. But all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? But Jesus doesn't want us to live, like, you know, away from him. He wants to live close to us in fellowship, so, right, and having him as a Savior. So use the time to repent and follow him. So if you'd like to receive Jesus, you could come up after service as well, or if you need prayer for just something, you know, you just want to pray and to help in moving forward, we could do that. So let me close this in prayer. Lord, thank you for today, and thank you for your word. God, I pray that we could all just take away one thing from today, something that you'll speak to us about, something that maybe you have been speaking to us about, and help us to move forward and put it to action and stop living the same way over and over again. That we would live in this newness of life, that we would redeem the time, God, and help us to walk in faith where things maybe don't make sense, but we know that you're calling us to something, but we'll do it without understanding, that we don't rely on our own ways, but that we rely on your word and what you're telling us to do. So please give us boldness to do that, give us strength to do that, and help us to support one another in doing those things and following you, living for you, and making disciples. We give you all the glory, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.